The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, just about 30 minutes of some motivation, a whole lot of inspiration, a whole lot of education, and absolutely not zero zilch any manipulation. That's right, we're not going to con you. We're not soliciting money. We're not trying to sell you something. This is not an infomercial. This is simply me teaching the Word of God, trying to help you orient and adjust to God's plan for your life. My job is to verify and identify that plan. Your job, if you want to orient and adjust, is go for it and do it. Remember, you only got one shot at it. You got one life. You don't get two or three. You get one shot at it. So I pray you're listening. I pray you're paying attention. The Flatline is brought to you every Sunday morning by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries, and you can always find us on the Internet at rickhughesministries.org. rickhughesministries.org. And from there, you can see the many books we've written, and we offer free of charge. We don't sell anything. Hopefully, you'll go and find those books and maybe order one or two that'll help you or your friends in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things we talk about on our radio show. Sometimes we get into inspirational topics, and sometimes we get into theological topics. Today I want to teach you something that I think is very interesting and something very unique that we all need to remember and we all need to pay attention to. So stay with me as I go through this study today, because I believe it'll challenge you and I believe it'll encourage you as well. We're talking about the royal family of God. The royal family of God. You know, some of us have large families. I don't know how big your family is, but some people have large earthly families. They enjoy getting together for meals and fellowship. And it's always refreshing to catch up with your siblings, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, and hear what everybody's been up to. Well, as a Christian, you have a family of believers called the royal family of God. And as such, we have certain privileges and certain responsibilities, even duties that we need to be carrying out as members of the royal family of God. So if you are a Christian, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in God's royal family. You're a royal family member. The title royal family refers to church age believers only. We're not talking about Old Testament believers. Old Testament saints, I'm talking about those people that have come to understand who and what Christ is since Peter's sermon there in Acts chapter 2 called the church, the body of Christ, the church. And the royal family refers to the church age believers only. When our Lord resurrected from the grave and ascended into heaven, he was seated at the right hand of the Father, and that is the place of highest honor in the entire universe. In Acts 2:32, the Bible says, "Thus this Jesus has God raised up," that's the resurrection. "Wherefore we are all witnesses to that," this is Peter speaking now. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God, he is exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, which he hath shed forth this, which you now see and hear." That's the preaching that Peter's doing. "For David did not ascend into heavens, but thus he said to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit you on my right hand." So we understand the Lord Jesus Christ, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he ascended into heaven and he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. And there he's known as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In 1 Timothy 6:15, "which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." That's our Savior, Jesus Christ, the anointed Son of God. As a result of this glorification, where he's now seated to the right hand of the Father, a new royal family was established by God the Father, and he set aside the age of Israel, and he inserted what we know as the church age, which is the foundation of God's royal family. If you're a Christian, today you live in the church age, and you are a member of the royal family of God. We are placed into this spiritual dynasty by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that occurs at the moment of our salvation, and Ephesians tells you about that. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. But keep in mind, there's no race, no gender involved. We're all joint heirs of God and all share in what Christ has done and what Christ will be. Each one of us, you, me, each one of us are now spiritual aristocracy. Let that sink in. You are spiritual aristocracy. That means we are believer priest, and we are also royal ambassadors for God. So as a member of this unique family, the royal family of God, we have an honor code. And that honor code instructs us how to conduct ourselves with the highest integrity and the highest honor so that we reflect the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our job. So spiritual aristocracy. I bet you never thought of yourself as that, did you? You are spiritual aristocracy because you are a member of the royal family of God. This royal family that you and I are part of will be completed at the rapture of the church. That you say, what's the rapture of the church? It's the exit resurrection. It's 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. Turn and read it when you want to. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. It's here that Paul talked about how we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds, and thus we'll evermore be with the Lord. The rapture of the church is a very unique thing, and it could happen at any time. It could happen today, tomorrow, the next day. But if it does happen, we'll just disappear. We'll just be gone. And we will then, once we go to heaven, we will all receive our resurrection body. In other words, if you're already passed away when the rapture occurs, you'll come out of that grave and get a resurrection body, and you will undergo evaluation. That's what's called the judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Every member of the royal family of God will be evaluated. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to evaluate us. That doesn't mean evaluate our sins. They're not going to show a movie projector of all the stupid things you've done. Nobody's going to be selling popcorn and peanuts, letting people laugh and get a good kick out of your failure. That's not the way it goes. If you read 1 Corinthians 3, you'll see that some of the rewards will be called gold, silver, and precious stones. And some of those rewards are wood, hay, and stubble, which means they're useless. The useless rewards are those things you did in the right thing, but you did it in the wrong way. A right thing done in the wrong way, as you know, is still wrong. So a right thing done in the right way, well, that's right. And the judgment seat of Christ will disclose what's the right thing done in the right way, called gold, silver, and precious stones. Okay? Now, as a member of the royal family, which you and I are, that royal family may be identified as the church, called the church. And I'm not talking about your local church. I'm talking about the universal church made up of all individuals who have received Christ as their Savior. Sometimes you're identified as the, quote, body of Christ. Not just the church, but sometimes the body of Christ. And sometimes the royal family of God is referred to as the bride of Christ. In Revelation 21:9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me and said, come hither and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And that's the church. That's you and I. So here are some points for us to consider today as we look at the royal family of God. Number one, the royal family of God is defined as every church age believer. Everyone that's in a member that's ever accepted Jesus Christ since his resurrection, church age believers, regardless of antecedents, regardless of background, regardless of race, regardless of classification, all of those distinctions are erased. The moment you believe in Christ, the moment you're reconciled to God through what Christ did for you, no more individual distinctions. You're now a member of the royal family of God, the body of Christ. Two, whatever you were before, you are now royal family. Spiritual aristocracy, and this is a permanent royalty that will last forever. forever throughout all eternity. Our royalty is eternal, and it's secure since it's related to our regeneration. And this means that all church-age believers like you and I are in full-time royal service for the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are royal priests and we're royal ambassadors. So, point three, the royal family is to provide an invisible impact on human history. The uniqueness to the church age, that's us. That's the impact on human history, the unique to the church age. Because as goes the church age believer, so goes the history of human history. And this phenomena is true only during the church age. So I'm going to say this again. I'll break it to say it a different way, which you've heard me say it. As goes your spiritual life, so goes the history of the world. As goes your spiritual life, so goes your family. As goes your spiritual life, so goes your nation. It's not depending on who's in office as president. It's not depending on anything like that. It depends on the spiritual aristocracy of believers in the church making up the body of Christ in any generation. And hopefully, that's you and that's me. Okay? So, point four. The scriptural declaration of our royalty is found in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Listen to what Peter wrote. But you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, that's you and me, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that, or in order that, you may proclaim the virtues of Him, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So, as a royal family member, we have a code of conduct, and we are called to live by this code of conduct. It's a system of spiritual integrity that we are required to live under, and it's revealed in the mystery doctrines of the church. No one ever knew about this before. There was nothing in the Old Testament talked about the insertion of the church. That was all a mystery. Paul taught the mystery doctrine of the church. That was all new stuff. They just thought that, you know, the Lord would come back someday and that'd be it. Nobody thought about it this way until we understood exactly what the scriptures are telling us. We are in a unique dispensation called the church age. The age of Israel has been set aside and will be completed during the tribulation. 7 years of tribulation is the final 7 years of Israel's history, according to the book of Daniel. So we are in a unique time, unique dispensation, with a unique code of conduct, okay? And this is a system of integrity that we're required to live under, and it includes impersonal love for all people and motivated by personal love for God. So here's the key to this thing. If you're a royal family member, you are motivated to use impersonal love, motivated by your personal love for God. What do I mean by that? I mean, you're not allowed to hate people. You're not allowed to be mad at anybody. You're not allowed to be jealous of people. Those are sins. Listen to James 2:8. If you're in the royal family, I'm going to give you the royal law. Here it is. If you fulfill the royal law, James 2:8, according to the scripture, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, end quote, you do well. Now that passage that James wrote is a direct quote from Leviticus 19:18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. That almost seems like an impossible task, doesn't it? I mean, what if you got a jerk for a neighbor? What if you got a weirdo for a neighbor and you're supposed to love him? Does that mean you got to go over there and hug his neck and look him in the eye and say, I love you, brother? No, that's not what it's talking about. Impersonal love means that you treat that person the same way God treated you. God loved you when you were a sinner. The Bible says God so loved the world. There it is right there, that he gave his only begotten son. Before you became a Christian, you were loved by God. And now that you are a Christian, you are still loved by God. You're just a member of the royal family now. So we are under this royal law. We're not allowed to hate people. We're not allowed to be jealous of people. We're not allowed to be critical of people. Since you are aristocracy by adoption into the family of God, we were adopted. Romans 8:15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we now cry, Dear Father, Abba Father. So you and I represent our Heavenly Father while we're still stationed on planet Earth. And we are to obey the laws of divine establishment, freedom, marriage, family, nationalism, those four things. We are to obey the laws of divine establishment, as well as the spiritual mandates taught in the Scripture. This means that you have to learn to think the right way. You have to have the right kind of thoughts. If you're not thinking right, you're not living right. That's why it's so critical that we understand. The soul's mentality is never to surrender to emotional override, which is seen in some form of self-pity or some form of arrogance, including the dreaded arrogance of self-justification. Our lives as royal family members, spiritual aristocracy, must consist of learning the Scriptures and thinking or applying the Scriptures that we've learned and solving the problems that control us or confront us by using those 10 problem-solving devices that we teach on our radio show called the Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. The Flotline is made up of 10 unique problem-solving devices. My pastor taught those to me a long time ago, and I'm reteaching them to you. But if you are a mature believer, and that's the objective of you, to get to maturity, if you are a mature believer in the royal family of God, that means that every member of the royal family of God is not mature, I promise you. But if you are, then you have cognitive, or you're aware, you have awareness of your independence, and you don't depend on drugs, you don't depend on alcohol, you don't depend on the opinion of other people to give you direction or confidence in your life and in the conflicts that you face. So unfortunately, as I just said, not all members of the royal family of God go on to reach spiritual maturity. After salvation, many never grow up. That's a sad part of the thing about life. They never grow up. They never advance due to distractions and discouragement. And they wind up drifting away from their objective. This is something you have to remember. In Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip away. One of the things that Satan does is once someone gets saved, he's going to try to distract them from ever reproducing. He will try to distract them from growing up spiritually. Anything that he can. You know how he does it sometimes? Through religious organizations. They'll get you involved and they'll make you think you're worshiping because you're singing some songs and you're worshiping and getting all emotional. And you're never really having an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ because you never learn enough Scripture to understand what's going on. You just function under your emotions, and that doesn't work that way. Not all members of the royal family of God reach maturity. So it's obvious Satan wishes to prevent the lost man from hearing the gospel, yes. But it's also true that once any individual makes that decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Satan, a.k.a. the devil, will then do everything within his power to distract them from ever fulfilling God's plan for their lives. And it is especially true that he does not want the Christian to reproduce. In 1 Peter 5, 8-9, the Bible says, Be sober. In other words, pay attention. Be vigilant. Be on alert. Because your adversary, a.k.a. the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, a lion is an amazing individual. It's an amazing animal. It can cover 100 yards in about 4.5 seconds. So you don't have much time to get your gun up and aim and shoot. You better not miss. You got 4.5 seconds, because if you miss, you're dead meat. This is exactly what Satan wants to do with you. Turn you into dead meat. And then you just wind up being a big old pile of stinking leftover. So Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Has he devoured you, is my question. Has he distracted you? Has he discouraged you? Even though you're a member of God's royal family and spiritual aristocracy, do you live like that? Do you follow the royal law? questions to be answered. St. Peter wrote that word of warning to believers who are under attack by satanic forces every day. And this is why members of God's royal family must consistently be aware of the enemy's tactics. Solomon wrote about it in Proverbs 4:23-27. Listen carefully. This should be a warning to you. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter and white lies. And go forth. All right? Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter and white lies and gossip. And keep your eyes straight ahead, ignoring all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Don't look right, don't look left. Leave evil in the dust. Now that's a modified, expanded translation of that verse in Proverbs 4:23-27. I'd like to read it to you one more time, please. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. Remember, you have a memory center. You have a heart, you have a mind and a heart. The Bible talks about both of them. The mind is the nous, N-O-U-S, in the Greek New Testament. And the heart is the cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A. We get the word cardiology, cardiac. But the heart is where the memory center is. The mind is where we accumulate information. The heart is where we apply the information. So this verse says this is where life starts, in the heart. And then he went on to say, don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Don't say one thing and do another. And this is what Christians are bad about doing. People will call you a hypocrite because of that. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless talk, careless banter. Avoid white lies, little lies, you know, like cheated on your income tax or told a lie to your buddy. You know, I love to bass fish. I used to tournament fish all the time. You talk about a bunch of liars. Whoa, my goodness. They'd be more than happy to tell you where they caught fish, but they didn't really catch them. They just kind of don't want to tell you the truth. Oh, yeah, brother, I caught a big one over there by that pier. But actually, he caught it downriver about 5 miles away. White lies, little lies, trying to distract people. And gossip, stay out of that. You know the difference between gossip and slander? Well, gossip is when you repeat a rumor. Slander is when you repeat a lie. So keep your eyes straight ahead. Don't look ahead. Don't look around. Don't look at what I'm doing. Don't look at what your sister's doing. Don't look at what your preacher's doing. Look straight ahead into the Word of God and ignore all the distractions. Watch your step, and then the road will stretch out smooth before you. And don't look right and don't look left. Leave evil in the dust. Again, Proverbs 4:23-27. So in closing, let's not forget we are spiritual aristocracy, and our aristocracy is not achieved by means of achievement. Our aristocracy is given on the basis of our relationship with Jesus Christ, because we are royal family. And as such members of the royal family of God, we are granted an inheritance of all that Jesus Christ is and all that Jesus Christ has. Thus, we are here to proclaim the excellencies of Him. In 1 Peter 2:9, but you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be holy people, God's instrument to do His work and to speak out for Him and to tell others of the night and day difference that He made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. And that's a quote from what's called the Message, another way you can interpret the Bible, 1 Peter 2:9. A quote from the Message. So we do this in our daily lives, which can be seen in Paul's writings to the church at Ephesus. What did he say? God, but you did not learn Christ in this manner. If indeed you've heard Him, you've been taught Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former way of life, you are now to rid yourself of the old self, which is corrupted according to the lust of deceit. And you are now to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, the way you think, and to put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God that has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So there's the new you, spiritual aristocracy. You're to wear that with honor, with great integrity, with great poise, and it's an amazing thing. Don't forget it. You are spiritual aristocracy. Why? Because you're a member of the church, and because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you, you've been adopted into the family of God and made heirs to all that Christ is heir to. What an amazing thing. Now, when you leave today, look at your wife, look at your husband, look at your children, and tell them, we are spiritual aristocracy because of who and what Christ is. It's wonderful. It's a great blessing. It's a marvelous thing to be a member of a great family called the Royal Family of God. Not your earthly family, but your heavenly family. And one day in heaven, you will be reconciled with all those that you've known in the past. I can't wait to see a lot of great friends that I know that have gone on to be with the Lord. And you and I will meet up there, and we'll all be together as a great family, the bride of Christ, the church, the body of Christ, the royal family of God. Never thought about that, have you? You are that. You are the royal family of God. That's a good thing to put on your tag. It's a good thing to put on your refrigerator. I'm royal family. Don't forget it. Don't forget the royal law and James, and live like you're supposed to live according to Proverbs, what we just read to you there. Any questions, contact us through the website, rickhughesministries.org. And I thank you for listening. We'll be back same time next week, same place. Until then, we appreciate your prayers and your encouragement. And I'm your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stay with me. It won't be long, only about 30 minutes of inspiration, some motivation, some education, and all of it done without any type of manipulation. That means we're not going to con you, we're not going to ask you for money, we're not going to try to sell you anything, we're not going to ask you to join up, fess it up, or give it up. We just ask you to listen up. Listen as I try to do my very best to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. If I'm able to do that, and then you could orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. It's your life. You got one shot at it. No redos. So I pray you're listening and pray you pay good attention. This morning, I'd like to welcome several new stations to our Flatline broadcast. If you're a regular listener, you might remember that last year, back in December of 2024, we dropped some stations where we had very little listener response. I mean, we have over 100 stations, and we like to keep up with where we're hearing from people. And if we're not hearing from anybody after being in an area for a year, or maybe sometimes as much as 2 years, then we'll change that station and go to another location. So I want to announce to you that we are now expanding again the shows based on why we took a look around and see where it is we can go. So we're going to expand these show base again while we look for those that are anxious to understand the plan of God for their lives. You know, this is, I'm a fisherman, and I consider this outreach to be a fishing expedition. I'm always casting the truth out and always try to get listeners to wait to see if we get a response or get a bite. Remember, we're not asking you for money. We're not trying to sell anything. What we're looking for is positive volition. Hopefully, what we can teach you will give you a degree of confidence that we are legitimate people if you see we're not trying to con you. If you realize we're not trying to trick you into doing something for our advantage. So sit back and relax and listen as I try to verify and identify God's plan for your life. That's my prayer for you today, that you'll be joining our show and that you'll start listening every Sunday and that you'll take advantage of the many materials that we offer through our website, rickhughesministries.org. The show you're listening to today is 1033. That's 1,033 Sundays we've been on the air all across the United States of America trying to represent our Lord Jesus Christ and lift up God's Word. So, I want to talk to you today about freedom. This morning, let's talk about freedom. F-R-E-E-D-O-M, freedom. As Americans, we love freedom and we cherish our freedom. Many men and women have given their lives to defend this freedom since this great nation was founded. Many prayers have been offered to God requesting the divine assistance in preserving our freedom. Now, you might not know this, but since our new president got in office, we're paying attention to the military, trying to get it back on track, get it away from the agenda that it's been on the last few years. But the United States Army Special Forces has a prayer that they offer to God. It's a prayer for freedom. I'm going to read you this prayer. And remember, many prayers are being offered to God requesting divine assistance in preserving freedom. So this is the prayer the Special Forces, the United States Army Special Forces, this is the prayer they offer. Almighty God, who art the author of liberty and the champion of the oppressed, hear our prayer. We, the men of the Special Forces, acknowledge and depend upon thee and the preservation of human freedom. Go with us as we seek to defend the defenseless and to free the enslaved. May we ever remember that our nation, whose oath in God we trust, quote, expects that we shall acquit ourselves with honor, and that we may never bring shame upon our faith, upon our families, or our fellow soldiers. Grant us wisdom from thy mind and courage from thy heart, and protection from thy hand. It is for thee that we do battle, and for thee belongs the victor's crown. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I love that. What a phenomenal prayer the Special Forces have. That's their special private prayer. You know, the Bible talks about freedom in a lot of different areas. Listen to these verses that I give you. This is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free. There we go, freedom. Free from the bondage of organized religion, that's one thing. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, and Paul wrote back and said, stand fast in that liberty. Christ made you free. You don't have to be under organized religion anymore. You don't have to be following the rituals anymore. It's now grace. It's a wonderful way to have a relationship with God based on grace. It's not based on your baptism. It's not based on your circumcision. It's not based on the adherence to the laws of Moses. Grace is the ultimate expression of freedom in Christ Jesus. Grace is freedom. Freedom from trying to earn your way to heaven. Freedom from worry. A lot of things we'll show you this morning. But remember, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith and freedom go hand in hand. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself proclaimed grace in knowing him. He said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The question is, what freedom comes from knowing the truth? And what is the truth that Jesus, our Lord, is actually speaking about? In John 14:6, here it is. This is what he's talking about. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. It's now obvious that Christ was referring to himself, and he was saying there's only one way to come to God, and that's through him, Jesus, the anointed Son of God. And that's the grace blessing that God gives you, freely. Once any individual believes in Christ and receives him as Savior, there's an amazing thing that happens. John 16:13, the Lord Jesus Christ told them, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, called the Spirit of Truth, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things that are to come. And so remember this, that the Holy Spirit is your guide through life, taking the Scriptures, the Word of God. This promise gives assurance to you and to me that we never have to be deceived by Satan again, just as Eve was deceived in the garden. We don't have to be deceived. Why? Because John 16:13, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you what's to come. So let me make a few principles here. The first freedom you receive when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior is you are now free from the penalty of sin and death. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is freedom now. Grace is freedom. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. You and I are the guilty ones because we're the sinners, not him. But as a great act of obedience to the Father and his love for others, he took our place on that cross. Romans tells us that in 5:8, but God committed his love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Because of this act of love, you and I are now given the honor of possessing eternal life. John 3:16, you heard it before, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You are now free if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior. You're free from the penalty of sin and death. And this freedom is provided by grace. Grace is not a license to do what you want to do, but rather it's an opportunity to replicate God's love through our behavior with other believers. Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, brother. There it is. But do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Again, I repeat, the freedom we have been provided by grace is not a license to do what you want to do, but an opportunity to replicate the love of God. So there's another freedom also. And that freedom is given in Christ Jesus, and that's freedom from the control of your sin nature. Once you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are given the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit offers you freedom from the slavery to sin nature domination. We see in Ephesians 1:13, in whom after you trusted, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you actually have a choice in your sin nature. You don't have to obey it any longer. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit fights against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. This is why you feel like two different people sometimes. Every believer has this battle going on with inside of them. The flesh wants to control your life as it always did before you accepted Christ. But now the Holy Spirit says, I want to control your life. Let me run the show. And so you have to make a volitional decision. Are you going to say no to sin and yes to the Holy Spirit? Prior to your salvation, you didn't have a choice. You were under sin nature control 24/7. That does not mean you never did anything good, you never did anything helpful. I'm not saying that. It simply means you could not manufacture enough good deeds to equal God's righteousness. In Romans 3:10, there are none that are righteous, no, not even one. Notice Isaiah 64:6. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and our righteousness acts are like filthy rags to God. So you can try to impress God with not smoking, not drinking, not cussing, not dancing, whatever you want to say. God's not impressed. What he is impressed with is the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to your account. So being free from slavery to the old sin nature is a wonderful thing. And this is how you overcome lifelong flaws in your life that you chose to participate in. Because now that you're a believer, now that the Holy Spirit lives in you, sustains you, and strengthens you, you can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This means you no longer have to commit those sins that used to dominate your life. It means you now have a choice. And when you do fail, when you do mess up, when you do commit that sin that you wish you hadn't have done, you can always use problem-solving device number one, which is rebound, which means to recover from that sin by problem-solving device number one, found in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all our wrongdoing. So staying filled with the Holy Spirit is the key to overcoming the lust of the flesh. And we are actually mandated in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to excessive debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. That's not a request. It's a command. There's another freedom the believer possesses, and that's freedom from worry about our daily needs. Notice Matthew 6:25 through 34, rather long passage I want to read to you, but it gets the point across. You're free from worry. Matthew 6:25, the Lord Jesus Christ said, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. If you're sitting around worrying about your life, you're sinning, I promise you. You don't have to do that. If you're a child of God, there's no reason to worry. I'll read on. Worrying about what you're going to eat, worrying about what you're going to drink, worrying about what you're going to wear. The Lord said, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? Can any one of you, by worrying, add one single hour to your life? No. So why do you worry, the Bible says, about clothes? Look at the flowers in the field and how they grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. So if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not even much more clothe you? So don't worry. Freedom from worry. What a wonderful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ made that clear. Don't worry. Saying, what do we eat? What are we going to drink? Oh, what are we going to wear? You can just hear it. Oh, my goodness. For the pagans run after all these things, the Lord said. But your heavenly Father knows what you need, so seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So you're free from worry, free from the lake of fire, free from eternal damnation, free from control of your sin nature, free from worry. This promise is a divine provision provided by God himself. And I promise you, I assure you, he will never throw you under the bus. So when you say, what does that mean, throw me under the bus? That's slang for turning his back on you. In Psalm 55:22, the Bible clearly tells us, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. You are considered the righteous. You are, since why are you righteous? Well, you have the righteousness of Christ, and it's been credited to your account. If you take the letter R and put R plus or R minus, maybe that'll help you understand it. As good as you are, as good as you can be, All the good deeds you can do is the letter R with a minus by it, minus righteousness. You cannot manufacture equal righteousness with God. But if you take the letter R and put a plus by it, that's plus righteousness. And that's the righteousness of Jesus Christ given to us. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin was made sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. That's how you get plus R. Free. You don't earn it. You don't buy it. You don't deserve it. It's free. The gift of eternal life is free. In Isaiah 41:10, so do not afraid, I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you, and I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wonderful freedom in Christ Jesus. Freedom that we have. So let's recall some of this freedom again from Christ Jesus. One, we're free from eternal damnation in the lake of fire. You're free. That's that. Your penalty has been paid. Christ stepped up to it, and He paid the price for your freedom. He bought your freedom on the cross. Two, you're free from sin nature domination. Never again do you have to submit to the sin nature and let it control your life. Now you actually have a choice. Now you can decide what you want to do. The Bible clearly tells you don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. That means when you use your volition to go negative to God's plan, you're making a terrible mistake. You don't have to live like that. You can let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you through the truth. That's the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you accept Christ as your Savior, all truth is found in the Scripture. So when you have the Scripture and you have a well-qualified pastor teach it to you, then you don't have to worry about what you're doing, whether it's right or wrong, because it's there. You can see it in the Word. So we could also be free from worry, as I showed you, free from stress, free from being concerned about the details of life. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? What am I going to drink? Your Heavenly Father promised He would provide all of that for you. And finally, you are given the freedom to choose. You can choose who you wish to follow. In the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, as he approached the end of his life, he had taken over command from Moses, and he had gone into the Promised Land and led the people into the Promised Land, starting with the Battle of Jericho. And now Joshua is coming up to the end of his life, and this is the challenge that he tells his family. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then you choose, there it is, you choose for yourself this day who you want to serve. Whether the gods of your father, whether the god that your father served that were on the other side of the Jordan River, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now dwell. And here it is, listen carefully. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a choice. That's a choice. You know, God would never bully you into serving Him. He's not going to force you to do it. If your eternal destiny is secure, you can go on down the My Way Highway. Just whatever you want to do, go do it. Until your time on earth runs out. I did a message called TOE, T-O-E, Time on Earth. All of us are granted a certain amount of time by the grace of God. So you are accepted. You accepted Christ. I've seen this happen. I've seen people get saved. They got on fire for the Lord for a couple of months, and then they just finally slid back into their old lifestyle. Quit going to church, quit studying their Bible, quit praying, kind of got caught up in the process of life. You can do that. Whatever you want to do, it's your choice. But why? Why on earth would you choose to reject all the divine advantages that God offers you? Are you crazy? The Word of God gives you insight, understanding. The Word of Proverbs 2 talks about this, insight and understanding and discernment. What a protective shield around your life, being able to know if you're making the right decision or the wrong decision. It's no longer flip a coin. It's no longer, oh, I hope I'm doing the right thing. Now you can see it from the Scripture, and God, the Holy Spirit, will lead you to the answer and tell you, this is what you do. You may fall in love. You may want to get married. may be a wonderful person, and you're a Christian, and maybe that person is not. And you say, oh, we'll work it out. It's okay. We'll get together. The Bible says, don't marry unbelievers. And then there's your answer right there. Don't do it. You think God's got something against you? You think he wants to keep you from having a good time? He wants to stop you from being in love? No. I mean, God's got something better. The problem is you don't want to wait. You're not willing to wait for the better. You want to get it done now. And that's where you mess up. You're not willing to wait on the Lord. So what is the reason that you neglect your spiritual life? Why do you neglect to serve a risen Savior? Are you just too busy hustling through the day that you cannot stop? You don't have time for God any longer? You don't have time for what God has done for you? Are you a Christian? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? Maybe what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Revelation 3 refers to you. Has your spiritual life grown cold? When I accepted Christ, the first night I went to bed, it was an unbelievable, peaceful night. When I got up the next day, it was peaceful. Every day I found out I had to make decisions. I had to learn the Bible. I was given a Bible. I had to read the Bible. I had to learn. First thing I read was the book of John, and I thought, gee, how did God know all of this stuff about me? A year or two into the Christian life, again, those struggles, those choices I had to make. Am I going to do what the Bible says, or am I going to do what I want to do? So many people do what they want to do. Are they trying to blend them together? I'll do what I want to do and add God and try to give Him the glory while I do what I want to do. Crazy. In Revelation 3:15-16, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. I know your works. I know that you're neither hot and you're not cold. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm, not cold and not hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. That means to vomit you out of His mouth. In Matthew 8:18, we find Jesus boarding a boat in order to cross the Sea of Galilee. Because of a great crowd that followed Him when He went to Peter's home to heal Peter's mother-in-law. It was getting dark late in the evening, and thousands of people were pushing the Lord Jesus Christ. And several followers made excuses. And the Lord says, let's get in the boat, and let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's leave this crowd. And several followers made excuses so they would not have to get in the boat with Him. What's your excuse? Why are you not willing to get in the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ? He offers you freedom. He offers you a wonderful life. He offers you protection and encouragement and freedom from worry, freedom from sin nature control. All the advantages the Lord Jesus Christ offers you, the Scriptures offer you, and you won't even take time to do it any longer? You don't have time for God in your life anymore? You're too busy running around, too busy doing whatever you want to do on Sunday morning? I pray you're listening. I pray you're paying attention. I gave a message not long ago on a well-qualified pastor and why you must have him. My prayer is that you will find that pastor. You will do whatever it takes to get under His authority and learn the Scriptures on a daily basis so that you can truly be free, free to live life the way God wants you to live it, free to follow God's plan. But it's your choice. You have volition. That's one thing about God. He didn't make you a little robot. He gave you a choice. He gave you freedom. You can do whatever you want to do. Go down the My Way highway, or I will serve you, Father. What's your choice? What's the choice that you're going to make today? Because the freedom is there if you want it. Oh, I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. It's my prayer that I'll be able to come back next week, same time, same place. If you have questions, you can go to our website, rickhughesministries.org. You can always write us from there. You can order the books from there. We'll be glad to do anything we can to give you assistance and help, as even provide you the transcripts of these messages. So thank you for listening. I pray you'll come back next week, same time. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.